Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
And Joshua led the Israelites at the command of the Lord to go around the wall of Jericho for 6 days with the priests taking up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And on the seventh day, when they went around the wall of Jericho for seven times, then it came crumbling down. In the walls of prayer, we marched around the walls which separated us from God. Damn, I can tell you what, I get chills just reading about that. I thought I was right. I looked that up a little bit during the break. And that's why when Miss Cornelia mentioned the number seven, and I'm so emotional now, I don't even remember which part of the show she mentioned it, but wow. And also, the number seven came up in 1836. There was 33 boys, men, and seven boys. There's so many symbolic symbolism, so many areas of symbolism in this battle. But I'm telling you what, people, and also Miss Cornelia used that magic word, that holy word, grace. The grace shows through in this battle with the Boer Trekkers. Grace shows through all the way from the very beginning of recorded history in the Bible. You know, without grace, people, we are totally 100% lost. That's the lesson that jumps out to us all through the Bible, all through the battles of white people. I mean, it's just all the way through, the history of South Africa, the battle there. But when I say 1838, the Battle of Blood River. Anyway, Miss Cornelia, you were hitting on all cylinders. I hope that was a nice surprise for you. I had a hunch that Miss Janice Hamblin would probably know you, because I know they're very good friends with Rich Hamblin, as you are. And it couldn't have turned out better for me. I was hoping it would be a nice treat for you. I know Miss Hamblin thought it was a nice treat for herself. But I know Rich would like to say hello to you, but he said he does not want to interfere with your talking. And I'm starting to wander, I guess, because I'm very emotional. This is an extremely emotional show. If you don't mind, I'll take just a minute to tell people. Most of the people listening to this show know the history of Blood River Radio. That battle I mentioned earlier, the Battle of Charlottesville. Excuse me, people. I'm very, very emotional tonight. The Battle of Blood River, 8/12/17, the day that will always live in my brain. That's when I saw Simon there, and Simon Roach, and my dear brother. And I knew then something, he told us all about what was going on in South Africa. He reinforced it into my brain and into my soul. I knew then something had to be done. And later on, I told a lot of my friends that something had to be done. I have a dear friend of mine in a southern state. I won't mention his name, but he's rather wealthy. And I was in one of his hunting camps, and I was telling him that something had to be done about the genocide going on against our people in Blood River, in South Africa. And I told him all about the Battle of Blood River. I didn't know what to do, but I started thinking I would get a radio show in some kind of way dedicated to the Afrikaners in Blood River. Well, I was inspired by Simon. And so it came to me, and believe it or not, I'm not going to say I don't care if you believe, but I do care if you believe. I hope you believe me, because what I'm telling you all has links with grace, with God. God is mysterious. His ways are mysterious. God moves in mysterious ways. We can never know God. But, we got this show. Just for the people in South Africa. And that's why this is so special to me to have this lady on tonight. But most of the people know that story, so I won't continue to hammer that in there, but I do have a lot of chills. But what do you think about, Miss Cornelia, before we go into more technical questions, how do you think grace has affected you in your life?
I believe in every sense, everything, every bad thing, every good thing, everything that a person makes through in their life is by grace if you walk with the Lord. Because we have this saying in Afrikaans that not every good thing, in your opinion, that happens, if it's good, is a blessing, and not every bad thing is like wicked. So many times there comes grace through bad things that happen, and I think everything that you go through and everything you do is through grace. It's not just at certain moments. Although you are a human and you are a sinner, and there are moments that you are rebellious and that you do wrong, but you should never forget that if you are a chosen child of God, then everything that happens will lead to the saving of your soul. So everything works in that direction. So everything, in my opinion, good and bad, was all through grace, honestly. Nothing is of oneself, and nothing is because you deserve it suddenly. Everything is through grace.
I think that's a good answer. I feel kind of like that myself. I think there's also a scripture that says something like, I'll just kind of paraphrase it, that when it rains not only on the good, but it rains on the bad. There's a song, and I'm going to get off this rabbit trail just a second. There's an old song. I came to Christianity real late in life, and there's a song that speaks to that. It's called something like Further Along. It goes something like, Further Along, we'll know all about it. Further Along, we'll understand why. All these mysteries, where there's people out there that are sinners, they're the worst possible sinners you can possibly imagine, and they seem to prosper and do well. We have other people who pray to God. They try to live a good Christian life, but yet they suffer all kinds of pains. And we can never understand it. Like, I can never understand why the South in the United States lost the war. I can't understand why the people in South Africa had to go through all that hell. Maybe, when we get to heaven, I guess we'll understand. But getting to ask a technical question, Miss Cornelia, Simon was telling me about a week ago that y'all are starting to worry about forced vaccinations being put down upon y'all. What do you know about these forced vaccinations for the coronavirus? Have you heard anything about that?
Yes, I have. So news spreads very quickly in South Africa, but the president did quote about a week ago that he will, when the vaccination is ready, he will start with nurses, hospital staff. Then, secondly, you will start with the elderly people. But it will be, you won't be able to deny vaccination. That was one of the things that he said. So it is definitely something that's very realistic that you're not going to be able to choose to listen to or not. But also, when a nation in South Africa, if you declare a state of disaster, if you declare South Africa as a state of disaster, no one can deny, no one can not want. They can't say, oh, I don't want treatment, I don't want to be tested. When you declared a state of disaster, the current government has complete control. They can make any law they wish. They can ban anything, and they can do however they please and whatever they want to do. For example, they made a lot of very, very, very interesting laws during the first state of disaster declaration, and it was lengthened for 5 times the state of disaster, and they want to lengthen it now to a 6th time. But a lot of people are, they are willing to sue the government because it's delirious to do another state of disaster. But there's a reason therefore. But I want to come back to that they have the right to imply any rule, and no one is allowed to basically ask or deny it at all. For example, in South Africa, you weren't allowed to wear sandals. You weren't allowed to wear like short skirts or short pants or anything too revealing because you can get the virus. Heated wow. chicken weren't allowed to be sold in checkers. No cigarettes or like alcohol was allowed to be sold. And this had a big problem because the people that love their alcohol started brewing with pineapples and sugar. And a couple of people died of that. You know, it's really terrible. And so basically they want to declare another state of disaster. If they do this, the state has complete control. And this cabinet has complete control and no one can ask or say anything. And they did say, the president did say that you won't be able to deny the vaccination or to say no to the vaccination.
You know, we're hearing similar things in this country right here. It's probably all going to hinge here on whether our President Trump gets put. There's a court battle going on right now. It's very confusing. No one really knows what's going on. But now, if Biden gets in, well, we hear a break. We're going to a break, Miss Cornelio. We'll be right back to you in just a minute. People, hold on. We'll take a quick break. We're going to go right back to Miss Cornelia Miller. I'm really having a wonderful time. Hope you are too.
This is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Well, people, you can't even imagine how my day is being made by having this young lady on. I'm going to ask her about her dad in just a minute and some of her family members. But before we go, Cornelia, is this these compulsive vaccinations you've just been telling us about, is that part of the NDR, the National Democratic Revolution?
Yes. So I don't read that much about the National Democratic Revolution, but I do keep an eye on what the president says. And he definitely doesn't associate the two with each other, but he does does push his double agenda for the National Democratic Revolution. And he did state also about 2 weeks ago that they are going into another phase of the National Democratic Revolution, and they are using most definitely this state of disaster, this COVID, the corona, completely in the favor to push for their double agenda, which is the National Democratic Revolution.
Well, anytime I ask you anything, if you don't feel comfortable answering it, or if you feel like it may be illegal or something, just all you have to do is just say, let me know. But now, Sightlanders, what is the policy? You being a member of Sightlanders, what is the policy on Sightlanders? Or do y'all plan to protest that, resist in any way? Has that been a point of discussion in Sightlanders?
So it's very dangerous to in any way be a resistance group, specifically in South Africa, for the reason, if you look at any of the resistance groups from the past, most of them are in jail. And there's a very strict, very, very extremely strict eye on any type of resistance group. So Sightlanders is an emergency plan initiative. It's basically the protection of civilians. And that is what makes it a safe initiative, is that it doesn't say, listen, we're going to stand up to you and we're going to attack you. It just gives an exact plan how to handle and what to do in the case of anarchy in South Africa. But we have many times discussed what it will imply or what it will mean if they say in a week's time everyone has to get the vaccination. If you don't get the vaccination, you won't be able to buy things, or you won't be able to get your ID for your children, or you won't be able to get your passport or anything, because they can do that. They can manipulate it like that. So we did discuss that many times, and it's never that, you know, we are not in the position at all with the amount that we are to go against the government, and it's very, very, very dangerous, specifically in South Africa. You can really, you just say the wrong word. I personally know a woman that just, she used the K word, which I'm not going to say, but she used that word, and she actually went to jail for 3 years. So that's why Sightlanders has to position itself very carefully to be able to protect civilians in anarchy, and without, you know, acting in a certain way that they won't be able to do that for civilians. So many times at protests against farm murders, we go, but then we go as an individual. We can't take part of these protests because then we won't be classified as a civilian protecting organization at all. So we have to be very, very careful what we do, but we will most definitely, we give the option and the solution to when you feel this person, this is becoming way, way, you know, this has taken a step in the wrong direction. We have an exact plan for you how to get out of the cities in a very safe way with alternative routes. And we also, you know, teach people how to prep. We help them with it. And then, so we, it will definitely, Sightlanders is also in a solution for that, but we are not at all in the position to be able to do anything, because it will most definitely jeopardize what we've built up until now to be able to protect people and civilians.
That is a very common sense answer that makes all the sense in the world. I can imagine how you've got to be walking on a tightrope there, 1,000 feet high. The tightrope is like the width of a spider web, and there's wind blowing. You know, it's getting that the same way here in the United States. I see it coming. You know, now before I ask you a question about the parallels here in this country, I know Simon says that you are pretty well read. You keep up on the world political stage, like what's happening here in I think he said Belgium. you know, in France and probably the United States too. But you mentioned the farm murders. Now, I would assume that since there's maybe – it may be a wrong assumption that there's been so many people not only murdered on the farm, but so there's been – has there been a kind of a mass exodus even at a greater speed, at a greater rate of exodus, say, in the past 2 years, a year since I think Rich was over there in Denise probably a year ago? How many farms are deserted now because of people leaving, but because they're afraid they're going to be murdered? Or are you keeping up with that? Do you have any? Go ahead.
So the immigrations monthly of the white population was an average of 2,000 monthly before the COVID, and 17% of the houses that were for sale in the first term of the year were all people that were planning on immigrating, and the farm murders have increased to 62% in comparison to last year this time. But the thing is, it's very hard to get any information from the government, so we have to focus on groups such as AfriForum or Solidariteit or private security groups to provide us with information on farm murders other than people that we know that have been attacked, which are a lot. And it's really terrible because the farm murders have increased and the brutality as well and the age as well. So usually they attack the older people, but this year they murdered specifically a young farm worker. His name was Brendan and he was my age. He was 21 and he was severely beaten and he really fought for his life. There was more blood of the people that attacked him on his body than his own. So that meant that he physically literally fought until he could not anymore. And he was only 21. And I'm speaking to his fiance at the moment, and it's really terrible. Oh no, it's, you know, there's not words to describe it. And there's another farm murder which was for me very, very emotional, and it was a young woman. She was 26 and she was pregnant with her third child, and mm-hmm. she was killed in front of her children. And her husband he survived, but we can go on and on about the farm attacks. They increased a lot. And 26% of farm attacks were intended to be murders, but the people survived. This year as well, there was a lady. She was in her 80s. She was 80 years old. Her name is Helena. And she was attacked on a farm, severely beaten. And this was during the winter. And they took her in her car, they beat her, and they dropped her off in the snow near the border of Lesotho. So Lesotho is a small country within South Africa. And they left her in the snow, and she walked for miles and miles to go and get help, and she was 80 years old. So the brutality, it's getting worse and worse and worse, and they don't get prosecuted so justly. For example, one of the attackers of the Brendan Horner, the young man who was 21, he got bail for 5,000 rand because the jury said, oh, but there's not enough information. But there was enough information, but the police also didn't really search for the crime scene, because in the car of Brendan, there was still a knife and there was still blood, and none of that was used as proof. So there's so much injustice against for the way they handle these cases. So there's been most definitely an increase, and also the brutality. It's just getting worse.
Ms. Cornelia, we have to go to one more break. We have to go to a break, okay. Ms. Cornelia. You probably can't hear the music, but I want you to go right back. I'm going to ask you another question when we come back. Hold on, people. Be right back.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
As lawmakers head back to Washington, D.C. on Monday, lots of things need to get done. Government funding runs out December 11th, and a COVID bill is still on the horizon if they can get one done before the end of the year. As far as a stimulus bill, Republican Congressman from Kentucky James Comer believes we need a very targeted approach to a stimulus bill.
We need to have targeted stimulus. The restaurant industry, I think that's the one industry that there's bipartisan agreement that there is a desperate need for assistance. But we have a situation in Washington where Nancy Pelosi, she doesn't want to do targeted stimulus. She wants to do another blanket stimulus bill and give money to everyone. And
Comer speaking there on Fox News. The second victim of a mall shooting in Sacramento, California has died. The suspect is still at large, and police believe this was an isolated incident. You're listening to USA Radio News.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. Not only is it time for open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For the typical family, switching to MediShare saves about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people. Think what you could do with that. But if you join right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. So that's another $170 you'll save. And MediShare is really different. It's a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills. More than 400,000 people are members, and they've shared over $4 billion in medical bills. So, yes, they can handle your bills, too. This may be the time to make the switch. Join before November 30th for the additional savings. It's so easy to find out more. They're great to talk to. In fact, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Here's the number. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Republican Senator David Perdue is deciding not to debate his Democratic challenger. CNN reporting Perdue won't debate John Ossoff on December 6th. That's just a month before they will compete for one of Georgia's Senate seats on January 5th. As far as what this race means for our country, Republican Senator from Louisiana John Kennedy says,
if the Republicans lose the Senate majority and the left of Lenin wing of the Democratic Party gets in control, as it will, controlling both the Senate and the House, as I said earlier today, you have nothing to worry about unless you are a taxpayer, a business owner, a parent, a gun owner, a cop, a person of faith, or an unborn baby.
The nearly 1.1 million travelers who crossed TSA checkpoints at airports the day before Thanksgiving were the most since March 16th. You're listening to USA Radio News.
A Venus is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Well, people, thank you for holding on. We have this dynamite guest. I've had some people send me text messages and stuff talking about how great Miss Cornelia is. Miss Cornelia, you're probably the best guest we've ever had out of South Africa. Tell Simon that he may have lost his job. He may have lost his starting position.
Oh.
Well, you know, he's old. He's not as old as I am, but he's old. Listen, before we have a fellow on. Matter of fact, you spoke with him briefly today. His name is Lee Cochran. He's got some questions. But before we go to that, I want you to go back. And I'm known for repeating myself because old people do that. But if you will, I want you to go back. And I think this needs emphasizing the brutality of these murders. Would you go back, if it's not too much, if you'd like to, if you don't want to, it's okay. And tell us all about that lady who was murdered, who was expecting her third child. Tell us a little bit. Yeah. Tell the people about that again.
So, in South Africa, the brutality of the farm murders, it's surprising how brutal it gets each time and how inhumane. The average attackers per attack is three. So there's usually about three people, and they don't have any mercy at all. And this one attack and murder was on a farm in KwaZulu-Natal, which is in the east. It's basically the east coast of South Africa. And she was 26 years old. She was still very young. She already had two beautiful children, and she was expecting her third. And they broke into the house. They didn't steal anything. It's definitely not farm murders or definitely not crime-based. It's always ridiculous when someone has the audacity to say that, because it's just terrible. You know, hearing these stories and seeing pictures, it's really inexplainable. But they beat the man, and he was unconscious. And he almost passed away as well, but he went to the hospital, and he was in the hospital for quite a while, but he survived. But they took the woman that was pregnant, the lady, and they slit her throat in front of her two children.
Wow.
And she died. And it was such a shock. It was really such a shock when we heard the news. And also, it makes me think of another murder, which this actually happened a long while ago, but just to give perspective of how little mercy there is. You know, I can easily go on each night about the whole night about each story, but this one specifically I thought about. The girl's name was Vilmi Potgieter, and she was only 2 years old. And she and both of her parents, they got home, and there was about, I might be wrong, but there was about seven attackers. And the father tried to protect his family, of course, his daughter and his wife. And they hit him with a machete. They slit his wrist, so he didn't even have control over his hands anymore. And he laid on the ground, and his little girl ran around him the whole time. You could see the footprints all around the body of the father, how she hysterically ran around him. And the mother, she was sitting there, and she sees all of this, because they do it in front of you. And then they took the girl, and they shot her execution style, a two-year-old little girl.
God almighty.
And they took the wife to the room, and they put her on her knees, and she started praying, our Father who art in heaven. And then they also killed her. But it's absolutely inexplainable. One of my friends as well, there's so many people that you know, you can easily, months of stories. But this one friend of mine, they survived an attack. But it was brutal. They literally dragged his mother through the house by, you know, pulling on her hair. They dragged her through the house. And they actually wanted to rape her in front of her son, which was a very good friend of mine. But one of the attackers said, no, not today. And that is exactly the mindset they have. No, not today. They're not afraid of being prosecuted. They get bail. They don't care. They really, really don't. And this is exactly the brutality and the inhumane acts that's happening in South Africa.
I have 9,000 more questions. But, you know, Lee, Miss Cornelia, you're doing a fantastic job. I tell you, we've got to get you back on again soon. Lee Cochran is on. You spoke to him briefly today. He's said hello. Lee, how are you doing tonight, fella?
Oh, yeah, this is a really tragic story for Mrs. Miller. I was just wondering, how can we send help or money to help you guys out? Because this is just a nightmare over there.
Yes, so you are more than welcome to go to the Safe Thunder website and see in what ways you can support. But specifically, you know, talking about it and sharing the news, because the more people that know, the more, the bigger the case you have. Because if no one knows, then it's as good of it as if it doesn't exist, even though it's still happening. So you're more than welcome to go on the site, on the website. But spreading the word is extremely important, and that's really, really, really what we need.
Yeah, well, that's good. We got to talk to ministers and people have influence, you know, and, you know, we need to talk to the people that have influence and people that have money so so people will know, you know, that y'all are in big need of help. And you're not making this up, and this is not white South African privilege and stuff like that, or white privilege, yeah.
No. In fact, when I hear that word, or if you say that word to any booth, they really, really get very upset. Really, because that's, you know, it's terrible. You know, you're going through all of this and you don't feel sorry for yourself. You want to fight against this. And then someone comes and says, no, but you're privileged. Then I'm just thinking, oh, please come be a white person in South Africa and farm here, please.
Yeah.
You know, how can we donate? Lee, you brought up an excellent point. Miss Cornelia, exactly how is the best way? Give the website again. Tell us the best way that people here are listening to this broadcast can donate money or any aid they can. I know you're probably used to you can never get enough diesel fuel, as Simon used to say. How can we donate? What do you need besides money? What could the people listening to this broadcast possibly do? What's the best thing they could do to help you and the Sightlanders out? And the people in South Africa.
So we, the Sightlanders specifically just opened a thing on the website. So if you go on, you can immediately donate. It's very easy. It's something that we recently put up. And however small, however big, it is of every contribution we really appreciate. So that's one aspect to financially help and aid. And another one is, as I said, to spread the word, to get people to, visit South Africa, or people that, you know, are people of influence, because that also makes a very big difference. So there's a couple of ways, but you're more than welcome to go on the website. It's very easy. You can see there would stand donate, and then you just press on the donate button, and then it immediately puts you through.
And Miss Cornelia, any information you have, you can send it to Blood River. You can send it to Eddie@BloodRiverRadio.com. I'll contact you after the show. But I'm going to ask one last question. I'm turning the rest over to Lee. One of our callers wants to know, is cannibalism still practiced in South Africa?
Okay, so we have a lot of different tribes in South Africa. I'm not sure. I don't specifically personally know about it, but I do know about a couple of different cultural things that are done in South Africa. But you have a lot of very, very, very close groups that you don't really know what's going on. So I don't personally know about cannibalism. But I do know in the Eastern Cape that they are eating cats and dogs, because there is a bit of a hunger issue in the Eastern Cape. But that is the government doing, because they stole some of the food parcels that had to be delivered to people in need. And they sold it instead of delivering it. But that's also a long story about our government. Yes.
I know black people would never do that. Black people would never do anything that dishonest. We'll be right back, people. And I know Lee's got some more questions. Be right back. Hang on to your seats, folks.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the Har genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Well, people, thank you so very much for hanging out tonight. This will be our last segment, so we're going to go back. We're going to go back to Lee and see. I think Lee had some other questions and comments to make. Lee, fire away. Ask any question you have for the one and only Miss Cornelia.
Okay. Yes. Don't the black people? Well, the tribal people know that if they run out all the white people, they won't have enough. They couldn't take over the farms, know how to run them. I think they're being duped. They couldn't run the big farms because they don't have enough skills yet. So they're just cutting their own throats.
You know what? That is a very, very interesting case because I know a couple of Zimbabweans. A white as well as black, and when Zimbabweans come to South Africa, you usually give them jobs because they are super hardworking and they are very appreciative and thankful. Because I mean, 70% of people in Zimbabwe live below the poverty line, they know what it's like to have land expropriation without compensation. They know what happens when you let all the white people go away. So absolutely, it's sad because they don't realize that at all. And they will not realize it even maybe one day after all of this. Let's say it happens exactly as Zimbabwe and we end the same way and there's almost next to no white people left in South Africa, then maybe some of them will realize it. It's very interesting. I don't really have an explanation for that, but they don't realize it. You do have Zimbabweans that work here and that say, no, this cannot happen in South Africa. Where do we go then? Because we fled to South Africa. We swam through the Limpopo River to get here. We swam through a river that has crocodiles. We don't have IDs, we don't have passports, we swim through rivers to get to this country, and now they want to throw this country away as well. So I really wish I had an explanation, but I don't. And no, the leaders of the parties, of the parliamentary parties, the leaders of the majority groups, and they all are Afro-Marxists. They are all radical and extremistic, and they are all communistic. So they, with intent, do this, but their followers don't. I won't say everyone, but the majority doesn't have the realization what they are actually doing and supporting.
Yeah, they're not. They're not telling their own people. Yeah, go ahead, Eddie. Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to, excuse me. I was going to say somebody just chimed in, sent an email, excuse me, a text. Miss Cornelia, do you know what the latest estimate of the true population is in South Africa, specifically the white people?
So white people, I would say, I might be wrong, but approximately about 4 to 5 million white people. And apparently there's more than 10 million undocumented black people. And then we have about 50 million black people. So we are really, 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 really minority. but I'm not sure because there's a lot of white people that immigrate or that go away and leave. But we are about between 4 and 5 million.
3 and 4, 5, but that's really big time outnumbered. The last question I have, which I have one more question back to Lee. I know, Sightlanders has a special relationship, you might say, with the United Nations. Y'all have a charter, a kind of like a civil defense charter. With the United Nations, something to that effect. Do they have any UN personnel there that you have personally seen that are keeping tabs or surveying what's going on in South Africa to this day? I mean, does the United Nations act like they even act like they care about what's going on there? And then back to Lee. Go ahead, Ms. Cornelia.
Yeah, so I personally haven't seen one, but I'm not really in that specific division because I'm still quite new in this. I think maybe perhaps if I have a bit more experience and I've been doing this longer, then I would be able to give you a more trustworthy answer to that.
How about you, Lee? You have any questions right now? Go ahead.
Just one more. What about the China? Is there a big Chinese presence in South Africa, because I'm sure they'll try to take over de facto.
Yes. So other than the large amounts of money that they do, that we do owe them, they are here, but they're not necessarily very active in the front field. But also when COVID started, the Cubans and the Chinese very, very quickly made their presence very clear in South Africa. But now, at the current stage and moment, they're very, very quiet. And you only hear about their presence, but you don't really see them. So I also can't really say much about that.
Boy, well, that's just something. It's interesting to know, because the Chinese they'll buy up all the land and enslave the country again, I guess, with the bankers.
Yes, and they did. They bought a lot of land, and they're still buying a lot of land, and they are lending South Africa, the South African government, a lot of money. So most definitely, I think they would absolutely love to grab this opportunity.
Yeah, they'll probably say, get you in debt and say, well, you got to give us some land back if you want to get bailed out, just like the bankers do.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, I guess the big bankers want the black tribe people to rule South Africa because they can steal more land through them. That's what I'm thinking. There's always a scam. There's people, they're scamming people using a middleman.
Exactly.
I was going to ask Ms. Cornelia, yourself, I know you're well aware of what's going on here in the United States. I've asked this question to Simon and other people that have come up from South Africa. Do you see, from what your knowledge of the political situation here in the United States, what's going on now, do you see any parallels between what's happened in the past in South Africa, even going up to the present of South Africa, and what's going on here in the United States? And do things portend, are things looking really bleak here in the United States? In other words, do we have common parallels in this country? Are we going down the same path?
Definitely.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So especially with the BLM and the Antifa groups, there's a lot of parallel between the way that they handle anything that they don't agree with. The destructive soul that's currently in America is exactly the same that we experienced here. And it won't necessarily happen in exactly the same formation, but the destructive soul is most definitely there, the same as that we have here. And it's almost like the people in America really, they're almost hungry for this aggressiveness. And it's terrible, really, really terrible. But it's very interesting because even though America is this huge country with so many things happening, everyone is so quiet about what's really, really, really going on there. For example, the whole election fraud and the cases, and now they say Trump's conceding. So there's a lot of in South Africa, we don't really, really, truly know what's going on in America, but most definitely the soul of destruction is also there. The way BLM acts, the way they treat people that they don't agree with, that aggressiveness, it's really blinding. I mean, when I looked at those riots that the BLM and the Antifa people had, it's just so similar to the way that the majority groups act here. So, yes, and also the massive scale attack against Christianity and against white men specifically, and white females as well. But I, as female, see, the role that a man has, and there's this massive attack on a white male, and that we have it here as well. They absolutely destruct the image of the white male in America as well as here, and the whole dimension of the gender identity and all of those interesting ideologies. So most definitely there's a lot of parallels in the sense of the way Antifa and BLM acts, and the mass scale attack on the Western culture in America and in South Africa.
Well, Ms. Cornelia, we are getting very close to in the time. I'd like to ask you, in as quickly as possible, what advice could you give to the people in America? First of all, do you think the white people, and I'll preface this with a statement, do you think the white people in America, by and large, are just too docile and too weak and too cowardly? And what would be your advice to the people to avert the looming disaster a lot of people don't even think they can see? What would be your advice to the white people to stave off what's happened to your country in South Africa?
So the first thing I would say is to completely work on your relationship with the Lord and pray that you may be led to make the right decision. And secondly, I would most definitely say to be very realistic about the circumstances in America, and to say, you know what, this is happening. We have to have a plan on how we are going to handle this when it happens, because it's not if, it is when it happens. And I would just say people to be very realistic about what's happening and to have a plan to say, you know what, we don't agree with this vaccination, for example, and when they are going to implement it, this is what we are going to do. And that you really start working together with people that are like-minded with you, because you are going to need each other, because there's not a lot of you, but you are going to have to work together with like-minded groups and people. And even if you're only one or you are two, there is always hope as long as you pray.
God bless you, Ms. Cornelia. You're very, very amazing. You may be the smartest guest we've ever had. Thank you so much. I will be getting in contact with you again very soon, and I hope you will be able to come back on Blood River Radio. God bless you, dear. Give my my blessings and my love to your dad and the rest of your family, and tell Simon the same thing. Good night, Miss Cornelia. Good night, Lee.
Thank you.
Good night, Sam. Good night. Thank you, Miss Cornelia. People, you just heard one hell of a dynamite interview of what's going on in South Africa. And guess what? South Africa is coming to you, people. If you don't get some guts and stand up on your 2 feet and start fighting like a damn pit bulldog. Good night, everybody. Thank you so much, Sam. Thank you so much, Bethany. Good night, everybody.